The Haines School District gets closer to a final budget, but there are still some big questions. And does Haines need a new strategy to maintain its trails? It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. For the last few months, administrators at the Haynesboro School District have been trying to figure out how to save money in the coming fiscal year. The effort led to a couple cuts to staff positions. This week, Haynes Superintendent Tony Habra presented a stripped-down FY18 budget to the school board. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
At the beginning of the year, the Haynes School found out it was facing a major budget shortfall.
We're going to have to find $500,000 somewhere.
That's Superintendent Habra back in January. That's when the district found out it would receive less state funding than anticipated in the 2018 fiscal year as a result of a projected drop in enrollment. The loss created a budget shortfall of about $487,000. Since then, the administration has been working to pare down the budget and reduce the amount of money they'll need to borrow from the district savings account. Habra presented a revised budget at a school board workshop this week.
This is not a scorched earth budget, but it's definitely a bare bones budget. There's lots of things taken out of it that we went through and said, how do we kind of step back a little bit from this or that?
The school has already reduced next year's budget by three staff positions. Music teacher Jason Messino and reading specialist Janice Byerly's positions were eliminated. Curriculum director and assistant principal Cheryl Stickler retired at the end of this school year, and her position will not be filled. Now, the shortfall is down to about $150,000. To get there, there are a few more jobs that may not be filled next year. At a workshop this week, Hopper presented the school board with a budget that leaves out two paraprofessional positions. Those are open jobs that would normally be filled. Those paras fall within the special education department. Principal Renee Martin said they mainly assist students that need some extra help.
Maybe don't have the supports at home, they just need that extra structure, support, and focus, and I guess that's kind of where these two positions, that's where we're going to feel it, and the ability for us to have homework help for enough students and the after-school tutoring for enough students is my fear.
Director of Student Services Kim Cunningham said teachers would likely have to pick up the slack.
At this point, we would have no support within the middle school classrooms to assist any students who are struggling in English, social studies, math, or science. This year, we've had a para in all of those classrooms providing support.
There are still a few things up in the air that could affect the FY18 budget. The state is not done finalizing its budget for the coming fiscal year. The Senate is considering a 5% cut to the base student allocation. For the Haynes School, that would mean losing about another $167,000. It's that uncertainty that caused Habra to propose the paraprofessional cut. He says if the state keeps the BSA status quo, he'll suggest holding on to those jobs. Additionally, the number of students enrolling in the school could vary from the district's estimate. That would result in a change in state funding. There are other areas of the budget that were trimmed as well. That includes some money for technology upgrades that Hopper hopes to add back into the budget if the money is there. Hopefully, some of the looming questions will be answered by June 27th. That's when the school board will meet to approve the FY18 budget. In Haynes, I'm Abby Collins.
A meeting about improving Haynes' trail system drew about 20 people Wednesday night. The group agreed that before pursuing new recreational routes, Haynes needs to focus on its existing trails. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee organized the meeting. They wanted to hear from people about new trails the community should pursue or improvements that are needed on current paths. Right away, residents said Haynes should put energy into the trails it already has. Here's CJ Jones.
We need to work on maintaining our existing trails before we start building a whole bunch of new trails. We need to figure out that system so that any new trails that we build too can also be maintained.
Several residents said many area trails are in need of better markings. Heidi Robichaud said the last half of Seduction Point Trail in the Chilkat State Park needs work.
People go there, and I've many times encountered people on that trail just sort of lightly dressed with no overnight gear or anything, and that trail really kind of peters out towards the end, and everyone wants to go down to Seduction Point and, you know, see the beautiful view. And it's real easy to get lost down there.
Alaska State Parks received a grant to improve the first section of Seduction Point Trail to Moose Meadows. The department improved Battery Point Trail recently, but most of the trails don't get consistent maintenance. Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel said Haines needs to address that issue.
We in this community really need a mechanism for maintaining our trails.
Two Haines hikers, Paul Swift and Ann Boyce, used to do regular improvements on trails like Mount Rapinski and Mount Riley, but they eased back from their volunteer work a few years ago. Residents who spoke out agreed that the first step to improving trails is just installing adequate markers. Assemblymember Ron Jackson said the borough bought reflective metal trail markers a couple years ago, but they haven't been installed. State Parks Ranger Travis Russell said his department doesn't have enough local manpower to prioritize marking the trails.
I think marking it is obviously the first step. It wouldn't cost us a whole lot because we already have it. It's just simply time.
Assemblymember Heather Lendy brought up a nonprofit trail stewardship organization in Juneau called Trail Mix.
And in Haines, we could maybe do one that was a hybrid that involved a hiking group, skiing group, snow machine groups, four-wheelers, so you could have a lot of different areas of expertise that people could help with, and it might be a way to gain funding for the maintenance.
Trail Mix has a paid director and about a dozen seasonal crew members. Director Eric Boris says the organization is funded through memberships, grants, and agreements with the U.S. Forest Service and City and Borough of Juneau. Boris says Trail Mix formed out of the need for a cross-agency group to work with the patchwork of trail landowners. The Haines Committee talked about the idea of holding a workshop where Park Ranger Russell could instruct volunteers in how to properly mark trails. There was also some talk about potential new trails, but Russell warned that because of environmental reviews, that's a lengthy process. State ferry service would be severely reduced if the legislature fails to pass a budget in time to avoid a July 1st government shutdown. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld takes a look at what that would mean for one small, isolated city.
An Alaska Marine Highway shutdown would hit a lot of people in Angoon. Just ask Albert Kukesh III, the Southeast Island community's city clerk.
The ferry system is our lifeline. People use it all the time, and myself included, so it would be devastating to not have that option available to us.
Residents sail twice weekly round trips to Juneau to shop for groceries, household items, and other essentials. Kukesh says Angoon merchants would be left with empty shelves if there's no service.
We do have the one store, and they utilize the ferry system as well. If they have to start shipping their groceries in via plane or, you know, getting their own barge, that definitely, you know, hits us in the wallet also.
The State Department of Transportation has released a list of services that would be curtailed should the budget go unfunded. Other state departments have done the same. Spokeswoman Meadow Bailey doesn't expect a total shutdown, but there would be cuts.
It might be some closures, some reductions. It might be fewer hours. So really, we're not sure what the impacts will be yet. That's what we're working through with the Department of Law right now.
They're considering which services are required by the Alaska Constitution. Others might have to continue in some form due to federal requirements. Transportation cuts would also hit road maintenance, state-run airports, the Whittier Tunnel, and numerous building repair and other capital projects. Kukesh, Angoon City Clerk, says ferry cutbacks would also hurt lodges and guides, as well as personal travel.
The ferry system is the most economical way for many of us to travel to and from. And, you know, with the summer months coming up, a lot of traveling is going to be taking place, you know, either, you know, from us leaving or from family coming in. So, you know, not only does that, you know, hurt us getting out of Angoon, it hurts, you know, people getting into Angoon also.
The ferry system sails 10 vessels to and from 35 coastal communities in Southeast, South Central, and Southwest Alaska. Most have no road connection. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.